Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Every couple of months, we talk about blood, and we're going to do that this morning with Alexis Innes from American Red Cross Blood Services, redcrossblood.org, for all the information. We'll refer to that a whole lot this morning. Alexis, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I am fine. Here we are. It is. I always wonder when you go from certain seasons are tougher for the Red Cross, and I think summer is one of them. Winter is one, and I think just because of schedules and blood drives and things like that.
Yeah, we actually went into an emergency blood need in August, which we are still in as we head into September, and of course we're kicking off September with Sickle Cell Awareness Month to help educate people about the need for blood, to bring awareness about the need for blood for our sickle cell patients, and certainly to help encourage people who maybe haven't thought about donating before. Hey, if you didn't make that New Year's resolution in January, it's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. So if September works out well for you, then come on in and donate blood with us and help save some local lives.
Redcrossblood.org. It's when you say that there's, you know, a shortage like that. That's concerning.
It is concerning. And certainly one of the things that's always really challenging as we go through the summer, and fortunately, knock on wood, with us being still in the middle of hurricane season, although I know that there's some activity happening in the Atlantic right now, those weather events can also impact our blood supply. And it's not so much that people who are experiencing these things need blood. It's the fact that people in those communities aren't able to go out and donate, and so the hospitals suffer. And so being the national blood supply, we are often called on to help supply blood to areas that have been impacted or for hospitals that need blood from us. So, you know, if we can collect here in Virginia and we meet all of our local needs and we have extra on the shelf, certainly we can make sure it gets to where it needs to go. So that's always a really nice thing about being part of the Red Cross.
When these storms do come through, and even if they miss us, but you look at the devastation elsewhere, it's so concerning. And like you say, if there is a need, and there probably is one, some of these big storms, it's nice that they can pull blood from here.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I will say that one of my favorite things about this community, and you know, working in the Virginia region in general, is that we have some of the most giving, dedicated donors. I myself will be reaching my six donation milestone this year. I'm very proud of myself. Thank you very much. I went from zero to six times a year, and it took me a couple of years to get there. You know, I struggle a lot with my iron. So once I got on a regular schedule and being able to come and donate regularly, and I'm passionate about it, and a lot of our donors are passionate too. They know the impact. They understand the need, and they come in regularly. They go and make their appointment online or in the app and come on into any of our local blood drives and help us in our mission work. So I'm really thankful for this community for that.
You are so passionate about this and have been so excited that you've been able to do this.
Yes.
It's just because it... And that's why I think it's so important when you said about if you haven't kept your New Year's resolution, do something now.
That's right.
It'll make you really feel good.
It does. And I think sometimes we put so much emphasis on, you know, starting those habits at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of it. You can start your habit right now. You can make that decision today. You can make the decision right now. It doesn't have to be something that you just start at a particular time where you have to wait for, you know, the temperature to be right or the wind to blow a certain direction. No, you can make that decision right now to make an impact in our community. And people, you know, when people come and approach me about working with the Red Cross, you know, and well, what programs do you have and what can you do and how can we be helpful in our community, and I'm like, just give blood. And they're like, come on, it can't be that simple. And I'm like, yeah, it is that simple. 62% of the population are eligible. Only 3% give. If everybody who is eligible gives at least once a year, we would never have an emergency blood need. We would never have to do a call out. We would never have to have an all hands on deck, getting everything ramped up and putting out that call. We would always have blood available on the shelf.
62% eligible, 3% give. Wow.
Yes. And when I started in blood in biomed 17 years ago, almost in November, I think 33% of the population were eligible. So it's changed a lot. And being part of the Red Cross is amazing because they really have been at the forefront of getting these eligibility changes done. I mean, before I worked here, I wasn't able to give blood because of mad cow risk. My family was stationed overseas. And so because we lived in Germany for a little while, there was a risk that maybe there was, contaminated meat that we, consumed while we were over there. And, as a abundance of caution, people who were deferred, and a lot of our military folks fell into that category. Now, I think a couple of summers ago, we were able to revamp that eligibility. And so now a lot of people are able to join us who haven't been eligible before. And, there's lots of people that come up to me all the time, I was diagnosed with this when I was a kid, or, I traveled here. They told me I could never donate again. So definitely go to redcrossblood.org, check your eligibility. You can search your eligibility based on medical conditions, medications, travel, and check and see. And there's an 800 number on there too, as well, that you can call and speak with somebody. Too, and just double check before you even come in to see, hey, am I eligible to donate with you again? Is my record okay? Can you help me get all this stuff squared away so I can come and donate again?
I can't remember now who it is. I just was looking on my phone to see if I was right, and I was not. Somebody the other day posted how they gave blood and they got something back from the Red Cross that thanked them for giving, and then it told them that their blood had been sent to Louisiana.
Wow.
And they thought that was so cool. And we've talked about this.
Yes. And I, now that I'm a blood donor, I have my app as well, and I can see where my blood goes. And, I'm a sickle cell, donor. So my blood is a special match for sickle cell patients. When I see my map come up and I see where my blood goes, I'm like, oh, it went to VCU. I know that that's a sickle cell center. It went to UVA. Mm-hmm. I know that's a sickle cell center. So it makes me feel good to know that my blood is going where it's needed. And if there's a need in Louisiana or Pennsylvania or anywhere in the nation that we help supply blood to, and even if we aren't the primary source of blood, many people use us as a secondary source, especially when it comes to specially matched products for patients that are undergoing cancer or receiving a lot of blood, or sickle cell, if there's MASH trauma, we're always there waiting in the wings, having it ready to go when we need it.
RedCrossBlood.org is the website. Alexis Innes here from American Red Cross Blood Services. You talked about sickle cell. We'll talk about that when we come back, of how important that is. If you're somebody that can help sickle cell patients, really consider giving blood, because that's such a need there. So we'll come back and talk about that on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Alexis Innocent this morning from American Red Cross Blood Services. You just showed me on your phone, we were just talking about giving blood and where it goes in different places. What an interesting map you just showed me. That was your blood you were showing me?
That was my blood in the blood donor app. So if you, some folks don't like more apps and more logins and everything like that, but I highly recommend downloading the Red Cross Blood Donor app. There's so many useful tools and things in it. One of the things that my favorite part of the app is the blood journey. So when you log into the app and you scroll down, the third option is blood journey, and it's got like a picture of a little trolley bus or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so then when I click in it, I get like a little map, and it shows me like all the little hearts all over the map. And you can see like in Virginia, I have blood that's gone all over Virginia from close to Norfolk. Where did it go when it went there?
So you would have given in what, Richmond?
all the blood that I donated was in Charlottesville.
Oh, Charlottesville. Okay.
So I donated it, and it tells me that, too. There's, like, little icons. It tells me if I did regular whole blood or if it was a power blood donation. Or, sorry, power red donation, not power blood. There is power in your blood, but that's not the right term. all of my donations were donated. All my donations were done in Charlottesville. 22901, 22902, and 22903. So I've got all the 229s covered. But they have gone to VCU, they've gone to UVA, and they've gone down to Norfolk. There's a hospital down there that has used my blood. And so when I see that, and I know that I'm a sickle cell fighter, that's what I'm called, a sickle cell fighter. I know that that's where those sickle cell centers are. That's where those hospitals are. And so it makes me feel really good to know that my blood was available when somebody possibly went into crisis. When they needed that special match of blood, it was there on the shelf ready to go. And it feels really nice to be able to see that. And I have mixed feelings. You were just sharing with me that you saw that somebody's blood went to, you said... not Florida, because we were just talking about
Louisiana.
And then I saw through on Facebook there was somebody whose blood went to platelets went to Puerto Rico. So I want my blood to go out of state too, but also I'm happy to know that my blood stays I'm giving locally and my blood's staying locally and it's helping the local patients. And so wherever it's needed, that's the great thing about being a part of the American Red Cross. Wherever it's needed, it's going to get there and it's going to be available for those patients who are suffering.
And if you're a person who's always talking about, I want to do things, I want to get involved in the community, I want to get involved, here's a way you can do this big time.
Yes, and some folks have said, well, I'm still not eligible, or I can't give blood, or, I'm on a medication, or I have a health condition, or something, right, that prevents them from being able to donate, and that's okay. You can host a blood drive. You can help coordinate a blood drive. You can volunteer at a blood drive. We have blood donor ambassadors that we utilize all the time throughout the entire region that are wonderful volunteers who just come in. They're trained through American Red Cross on how to be a blood donor ambassador, and they come and greet the donors and they give out snacks and help reschedule folks to come back and give with us. And so there's lots of ways that you can be involved in this process and helping to ensure our patients are helped.
It takes many hands to run a blood drive.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And when people ask about that, I think they forget. Sometimes people think that the power of the Red Cross is simply just in our brand and in our name, but the power of the Red Cross is really in our communities. Yeah. We are really well supported by individuals and groups and civic organizations and schools and businesses and governments in our communities that are actively engaged with us, who are doing a lot of the stuff. I'm here, my job, and people think that I am just, on the corner with my little, wavy, whirly, inflatable tube guy, on the side of the street being like, hey, come and donate blood. But what I really do is I really work with individuals within organizations to help empower them and give them the tools to be able to run successful events, blood drive events. And yeah, there's lots of opportunity for, recruitment, for marketing, for social media within those groups of volunteers. These are all, 90% of our workforce is all volunteers. Mm-hmm. So I'm very blessed to have a paid position. Thank you very much for my job. But it takes a lot of volunteer help. It takes our community involvement to really ensure that the work that we do has the impact that it does. And I'm so thankful for those gracious people, because that's what I love about our job. And I shared this with you through the pandemic. I mean, when the world was on fire, it felt like people came in all over. How can we help?
Yeah.
What can we do? Can we have a space. Can you utilize this space? We have folks that want to help run a blood drive. We know people who are still needing blood. How can we help? How can we work together to organize this blood drive in honor of this individual who is suffering and needs blood? Or how can we provide this space to ensure that there's enough room for everybody who wants to come and donate. So we can prepare a space that is, you know, during the pandemic, you know, we had to make sure everything was the spacing and we had to check temperature. It was a lot. And we
forgot about checking temperatures.
Right, yes, it was, I mean, and the fact that we were able to mobilize pretty quickly. I mean, the Red Cross is a huge operation, and our blood operations, even here in Virginia, are dynamic, gigantic, and being able to shift everything quickly to make sure that folks still had a space that they felt comfortable and that they knew was clean, sanitized, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things. And luckily, a lot of those relationships still remain. And we're very blessed to have such an incredibly caring and giving community. And I'm just so thankful for, you know, the sponsors and the donors and everybody involved that helps us do what we do.
Yeah, when you think about it, just a single Red Cross blood drive, somebody's got to set up tables, somebody's got to get all, somebody's got to unpack all the things that you have to bring along and mm-hmm. set all that up and then tear it down. Mm-hmm. And some of those are paid, but in a lot of these situations, you know, like you say, getting a person there and asking them some questions and setting out the cookies.
Well, and thank goodness that the pandemic is over, because a lot of my groups are bringing the cookies back. Thank you. We have the church ladies that make their cakes and things that everybody looks forward to. And I mean, that's the stuff that's really special. That those are the drives that I really look forward to attending, that our team really looks forward to attending, because they just really lavish the donors and make them feel warm and welcome. And when we can have fun music and decorations and, you know, amazing food. You know, there's some churches that will do like a different meal every blood drive. You know, maybe they'll have the chili dogs. Maybe they'll have, you know, the soup or what. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They really. And during the pandemic, it was hard. It was hard, you know, to deal with those. Like, we can't have the chili dogs. This is going to be terrible for every, you know, they're not going to want to come and give. And fortunately, we got through it. And now we can bring it all back. And that is what makes it fun. That's what makes it exciting. And certainly it gives donors really something to look forward to and participating at these blood drives.
So if you can't give blood, you can certainly volunteer it.
Yes.
Some of these, even for just a few hours would help.
Even just for a few hours. I mean, as you said, many hands, you know, sometimes it's always down to, you know, that one individual who really has a deep understanding of the need, whether they needed blood or somebody in their family needed blood or they're a blood donor themselves, you know, because, hey, I mean, as a blood donor, if I can make it as convenient as possible by having a blood drive in my community, in my neighborhood or at my work, well, yeah, I want to coordinate that and I want to mm-hmm. do that, you know, to make it convenient for me. But certainly, you know, being able to have a plethora of volunteers, and those volunteers don't have to all be the same age. It can involve the youth in helping out. You know, I love being able to bring my kids with me to blood drives and have them participate and see what the operations look like and help me set up the tables and chairs and everything. And it's a service, you know, being service oriented is something that is still very vital to the mission of the American Red Cross. I mean, our mission is to, you know, ease the suffering of, you know, our community with volunteers and donors. And those volunteers being able to have those hands are really the backbone of everything that we do.
And getting your kids involved and letting them see and talk about the fact that you're giving blood.
Yes.
When it comes time, when they get old enough, you hope that that carries on.
They're excited about it.
Yes.
They're not nervous about it. And you can help dispel those myths and you know, help to needles are always tough, right? Now, the people that like the needles, you know, nothing wrong with you. I meet you out there. You got the tattoos. You got the piercings. And it's funny to me because it's always the people with the tattoos and piercings that'll be like, oh, I don't know about this donating blood thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Come on, please. Come on, please.
You're acquainted with needles.
Yes. Yeah, I know that's not a thing. I know that you're not afraid. But some people still are afraid, right?
It is.
And it's just a pinch. And the finger stick. And there's new technology coming in that vein of...
Tell me about this.
So there's new technologies coming. I don't know when it's coming yet, but I'm hearing some rumors that we might be maybe doing away with the finger stick portion. There's technology that will be able to scan your hand, and you'll be able to know what your hemoglobin is. Can you imagine? Can you believe that? That's crazy to me. That makes me feel like, okay, where's my Rosie robot? I live in the Jetsons now. Like,
it's getting closer.
We're getting there, right?
Yes, because that was the one thing
the worst.
It doesn't really hurt, but it's like a paper. Stings enough.
It's like a paper cut sometimes.
Yes.
And of all the things, once people are afraid of the needle because they're like, oh, it's a big needle, and I'm like, yeah, it's a pinch and a burn.
Yeah.
Once they remove the needle, you don't feel anything. You don't even know it's there. It heals up very, for me, and it heals up very quickly. It's the finger stick, right?
Yes.
And every diabetic will tell you too, right? Like, it's not the fact that I have to take diabetes medication. It's the fact that I have to do that stupid finger prick.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to eliminate that from the process and make it even more easy for people to give, I mean, we're in the future and we're on the cutting edge, and I can't wait for this stuff to keep rolling out. I can't wait for it to launch. I'll email you and make sure that I let you know when we have it in the field.
This is breaking news.
Yes.
This is breaking news. Because if you could eliminate that, and you could eliminate the puff of air when you go get your eyes checked.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Then we have.
Well, I will say that
the
best. I am the person who I get a little bit of joy knowing that I can blink faster and you can puff me. So that's going to be eliminated a little bit. But you're right.
Oh, I mean, those two things, if we could just do that.
Yes. It would make everything so much more pleasant.
Society would be better, I think.
Yes,
we wouldn't be
so
uptight. Because it's those two things.
If only children knew what they had to look forward to when they grew up. Oh,
I know.
When you get older, you're going to have that puff of air in your eye. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. And I'm excited about these new technologies coming down.
Well, all kidding aside, that part, I mean, it's gotten so much easier to give blood because you don't have to sit through all the questions that had to be asked
That's right.
So many things you can do ahead of time.
Yes. I mean, so if you have the app or if you go to redcrossblood.org, you can do the rapid pass, and that helps save like 5 or 10 minutes during the blood donation process.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps as a good reminder to individuals to remind them, hey, have you traveled out of the country in the past 3 months? Are you on any new medication? And you can answer those health history questions in the privacy of your car, at your desk, before you come in to donate blood, you know, first thing in the morning, if you think about it. And it's good all day long. You have to do it the same day that you plan to donate blood, but you can do it ahead of time and save yourself a couple of minutes. And it's very conveniently in the app. Once you make your appointment, you'll get those reminders, too, to remind you, hey, your donation's appointments today. You want to do your rapid pass? So it's really, really, we make it really easy for you.
Red Cross Blood.org. You said a minute ago you were a sickle cell something.
I am a sickle cell. Look, I'm going to look it up because I totally forgot what it is. Sickle cell fighter.
Oh, okay.
That's what because my blood is a special match for the sickle cell warriors. The warriors are the ones who are fighting sickle cell. I'm a sickle cell fighter because I'm in the war. I'm fighting against making sure that there's blood on the shelf. So I'm fighting that sickle cell. So yeah, blood donation.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that you had that little special designation. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a great thing. And we'll talk about that when we come back with Alexis Innes. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
RedCrossBlood.org is the website for the American Red Cross. We're talking blood this morning with Alexis Innes with the American Red Cross. She is a sickle cell fighter.
Yes. because I'm in the fight against sickle cell. Yes, my blood. I love that. Yeah, yes. I love being able to have that special designation. There's many people out there with certain blood types or blood antigen types and things. You'll hear in the community people say, I'm a baby donor. And what that means is somebody is O negative,
yeah.
CMV negative. That is a special match for blood for babies. Their blood is definitely needed on the shelf. If a baby needs blood, we want to make sure it doesn't have that CMV designation. We want to make sure it's negative for that so that they don't end up getting that, and it helps them with their healing and everything. So you'll hear like little things. There are special little designations in the blood world for different stuff. And yeah, I'm happy to be able to join that cause. Thank goodness that the eligibility changed. Otherwise, I'd just be out here just toting my little suitcase.
You'd still be Alexis.
Come donate.
You'd still be very cool. But yeah. The fact that you're a sickle cell fighter adds another level. So if I give blood,
yes,
I guess at some point you gave blood and they saw that you had in your blood what was needed that could be help sickle cell, and they told you. Is that how, you know, the same with if you can help babies?
Yes. So there are many sickle cell fighters out there who are not ethnically African American. However, we know as scientists that the best match for blood for patients is going to be someone who is probably of the same or similar ethnicity.
Okay.
And you'll hear every now and again, you'll hear stories of, oh, this person has a specific ethnicity. If you also are of this ethnic, please come and donate blood. And there's a particular reason why, and this is part of that reason, right? So people with African ancestry, there's a higher percentage in the population that you may also be negative for C, E, and K. These are special antigens that live on your red blood cell. You're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond the ABO and RH that we're all familiar with. And these, there's like 600 on your red blood cell. So these particular three are very high in the population amongst Caucasians. But if you have African ancestry, if you identify as African American, or if you're Black, if you're mixed race, you can select your race at blood donation, which is what I did. They add a special test. They're going to test me for sickle trait. So I'm sickle trait negative. They're also going to test for the C, E, and K antigens.
Yeah.
If I'm negative, which I was, then that's how I became a sickle cell fighter. Blood, I'm O positive, and I'm C, E, and K negative. And so that's my... That's what's on my red blood cells, and that's going to be the, what do they say in the laboratory? They say this is the gold standard blood that we want to provide to our patients, because what happens with sickle cell is, depending on the severity of your disease, you may require blood transfusions once a year, twice a year. You might not require any for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the severity, there are many different kinds of sickle cell. We say it as one general thing, but there's many different kinds of protein things that happen in that red blood cell that affect it differently and cause it to sickle. Having this blood on the shelf, we know that if you will not make those antibodies against transfused blood. When a patient receives blood, they're going to be introduced to things that they don't necessarily have, and they might make an antibody against it in that alphabet soup, because we don't always test for all of the 600 antigens. We typically just test for ABO and RH for compatibility. But as you continue to get transfused and as you continue to be introduced, you may make antibodies against other people's blood, and it becomes harder and harder and harder to find matched blood for patients. And these types of bloods are very rare in our community, but we know that there is a higher frequency in folks who are African American or who are Black. And so if you come in, identify your race, we add those extra tests, and then we can make sure that we identify those blood units and have them ready on the shelf when a patient needs it.
That's so interesting. It is important, the race you are, and that's why that when you check that box, that's more than it's vital.
Yes.
To find out, because based on your, it sounds like based on what you are.
Yes.
your blood is gonna be able to be targeted to certain areas and people.
Yes, certainly. And oftentimes in the laboratory, if we don't have these designations or if we don't have this blood on the shelf, what we'll do is we'll just go through our units and we'll start looking for negative antigens, right? So, finding a C negative antigen type blood type, you might have to test 30 units of blood to find, or maybe 50 units of blood to find. And the more antigen negative blood you have to look for, the harder and harder it becomes, because to be negative for both C and E, right? That, okay, well, now you're going to be testing even more blood. Okay, find C, E, and K. Okay, now, and it's also based on blood type, right? So as an O positive person, if I need blood, I can only get O positive and O negative blood. So they are going to be testing these particular blood types, and then they're going to be looking for those subtypes behind that. So that's why you'll often see folks who are not African American or who maybe are not of the same or similar ethnicity, they may still have those negative, they still might be negative for those antigens on their blood. We've tested them in the laboratory and we've identified them as sickle cell fighters. So, hopefully encouraging people and helping people understand, why we ask what we do, what it is that we're using it for, and how it's specifically helping patients will help demystify it a little bit. Like we talked about the needles and everything, this isn't something that we're trying to be, unclear about. This is definitely a way that we're in the 21st century, right? We're going beyond ABO and RH. We're looking at the molecular types of blood to make sure that people can continue to receive blood to treat their sickle cell, that they don't have to wait for that blood, because that's also a really huge challenge when you are looking for these blood types. We have to make those calls. We have to call to the entire Virginia region. We might have to call to the entire nation to say, hey, what do you have on your shelf? We need this blood. Can you help us find it?
And this, boys and girls, is why we do need to give. It's so important to give blood. And because the more people they give, you have in the various, just the various different people
that's
that
right.
give.
Blood diversity. Blood diversity. I mean, diversity matters. And this is the reason why, because there's somebody on the other end who's waiting for blood that only you can provide, maybe. So, help us find it. Help us be that right match and have it available and be prepared when the patient needs it. Because there's a great story about Tamia. She's a sickle cell fighter, and her mom has an incredible story, which I'll share with you if you want to post it up and everything too. Her mom is telling this story about her being in crisis. She's with her daughter, and they have to wait. She's in crisis, and they have to wait for that blood to be sent and to be shipped to them. They don't have it available on the shelf in the waiting. I don't know. Well, you have never been pregnant, but this is the only thing that I can akin to that feeling when you're pregnant. Time, one day, one week, waiting for these test results. It feels like an eternity, and you're just on pins and needles waiting for the results. And I felt that sense of urgency from her. I felt that sense of dread, that sense of like longing that, as a mom and your child is sick, like you want to do everything you can to help them. And the relief that she felt at finally the blood has come, it's being hung, she's getting transfused. And we've talked before about, when people are in crisis, when they're needing blood, you just watch them come back to life. You watch the color come back into their skin. You watch them begin to kind of perk up a little bit more, and how life-giving it is to be able to have that blood available and be able to transfuse our patients in the hospital. So knowing that this is a special way that I can help those patients helps me in my health journey, helps me to be diligent about donating regularly.
Yeah.
But, regardless if I'm a sickle cell fighter or not, being able to have that blood for the patient is so vital. And I'm just so blessed to be healthy and of age and be able to give. So why not? I get some free cookies. I might get a t-shirt. Oh, we got some great t-shirts out right now. So if you're into, you know, the Raglan, we got some Raglan baseball t-shirts. We gave away umbrellas this past summer. I hope everybody got a chance to come and get the umbrella because that was a hot item. That was a lot. We got socks coming. We got so many things, great things coming.
We always have good stuff.
We always have really great stuff and really great, you know, Red Cross swag. Everybody loves our swag. So it's always really nice.
But Once again, Alexis, you come and you always have one look. You'll have a line or something that just catches. And it really is something to be thankful for, that you're healthy and you can give blood.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, one day I might need blood. If I live to be 87 years old, I think that's the statistic that you might need blood at least once in your life. And I'm hoping that the hope and the education and everything that I'm putting into it now, there'll be somebody else who will be able to take their turn and be able to give blood when I need it or when I can't give anymore.
Yeah.
And so, I'm very blessed. Hey, I made it through the pandemic, gosh darn it. So I'm alive. I'm here right now. And there's a reason for that. And so I'm thankful to have survived and I'm thankful to be here and I'm thankful to be healthy. And you know, one of the nice things that they did during the pandemic is they were testing for antibodies. There's so many incredible things that we can do with our blood. Mm-hmm. We were using it as convalescently to treat people that were trying to recover from COVID in the hospital. You know, there's power in the blood. And if you have it,
donate it.
Please. You know, it's just a pinch. It takes an hour. You can make your appointment online. You can make it through the app. You can donate wherever it's convenient, whenever it's convenient. If you have the blessing of having a work from home job, oh, what a nice trip outside the house to go to the blood drive, mm-hmm. go get the chili dog at the church and mingle and chat with everybody and check in with everybody.
I want to find this church that has the chili dogs.
Oh, yes. You got to find the church with the chili dogs. And then you know, be able to know that the thing that you're doing, that taking that little bit of time out of your day, is really helping our patients in the hospital, helping those families, because it's not just the patient that's being affected, it's the families that are being affected too. You know, it's a large toll on folks when there's a need for blood, there's nothing that you can do, and you're waiting for that blood product. Be that person, be that hero, and roll up your sleeve and join us.
Yeah. Because in so many cases, it's the same people that give, and that's why getting new people involved is so important.
Yes, and they say that if you donate 4 times before you graduate high school, you will be a donor for life. So if your high school would like to sponsor blood drive, if you want to help get involved, you know, getting the youth involved and getting those habits built in early, having it just be in the back of your mind. I mean, as a middle-aged person, after you have kids, you get really busy. You know, you're working and you're raising your kids. And
you sound so old.
Thank you. That's my old voice. I gotta get up these stairs. I mean, yeah. When your knees start cracking every time you know, stand up or sit down. Yeah, those are some of the warning signs, I suppose. But you get busy. You forget. You know, you just get busy living with stuff. And you know, having the convenience of having a blood drive where you work, where you go to school, where you do business, where you're going to meet with the civic group. You know, if you're already there and you have if you're able to incorporate a blood drive in that mission work, you don't even have to have a blood drive every 56 days. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. Just once a year. And if you're sponsoring a blood drive, especially in a high need time, summer and winter, I know that's really tough for folks. You know, folks get sick in the summer, but in the winter time, folks are traveling in the summertime. But regardless, you know, if you're able and you have availability, if you're hosting on those times, you're making a really big difference in helping us to get closer to 4% donors who are eligible to giving, right? And as we said, we'll have a river of blood if we start having just a 1% increase, just a little bit.
Wouldn't that be a great problem?
Yes, to have. That's
to
right.
Have, yes. Exactly. Yes.
Too many blood donors.
Yeah. Alexis Innes here this morning from American Red Cross Blood Services, redcrossblood.org. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Alexis Innes this morning with American Red Cross Blood Services, redcrossblood.org. Again, the statistic, 62% are eligible, only 3% give, and you've done a great job. It's so good to have smart friends.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
As you described all the different tests they run and then determining where the blood goes, that's pretty amazing. And I think it's very cool when you hear where your blood goes.
Yeah.
The fact that you can do that. But the fact that when you give, they can determine sort of target who needs your blood.
Yes, and as we are evolving in our treatment of disease and everything, I mean, there's many diseases that require multiple transfusions of things, that require plasma transfusions, you know. There's so many ways that we utilize blood in the treatment for our patients, and having it on the shelf, right? Like, that's my challenge. That's my thing, that's what I go out into the community to do, is to help educate people, to empower them, to help them learn how to help us, and recruiting folks and talking to folks and dispelling the rumors, dispelling the myths, making them feel comfortable. I mean, it is what it is. There are needles involved, but I try to remind folks that, you know, as far as afraid as you are of getting a needle to donate, there's a patient on the other end who's probably already gotten a few needles, who's already been through a traumatic incident that's caused them to be in the hospital in the first place.
And needs your blood.
And they need it. And you know what? If they are in the hospital, they're never going to say, no, 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 please don't give me that life-saving whatever, because it comes in a needle form and I'm too afraid of needles, right? You're going to be like, no, give it to me. I don't care how it comes.
Right.
Save my life. And so if they can take a pinch, if they can take, you know, gosh, I can't even imagine the pain and the trauma and the sadness and the desperation and everything that these individuals and families are dealing with.
You think about, the patient feels so bad, the family's worried.
Yes, you can do a pinch for 5 minutes and save a life and save their life. You know, you never know. We were talking about our analogy, and I was telling about the Cracker Jack box and how, you know, being a blood donor, it's kind of like that, right? You know, the Cracker Jack box used to have a little prize inside, and I would always be opening that box hoping for the ring. You know, you want something wearable.
And
you'd often get that little picture that you'd flash back and forth. But it still didn't discourage you from, you know, eating the, I mean, because it's good popcorn, you know? You're going to eat it anyways. But you go, and that's the power that you have inside of you. You don't know what is inside your blood. But we'll test it, and we'll find out, and we'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go. There's a patient waiting for it.
And one of the things, Alexis, is we talk and do these wonderful shows a bunch of times a year, we probably don't talk enough about these are all people. When we talk about blood and collecting the blood.
Yes.
But like you said, there's someone on the other end.
Yes.
Who needs it, and a family who's just so... is just so upset about a diagnosis.
Yes.
Or, you know, what's ahead of them, or the fact that they need it.
Yes. Or, you know, I had a very good friend of mine when we first moved here. Not only did my grandmother, who had a heart attack when I first moved here, receive blood, which I'm so thankful for those donors to provide to her, because she, it gave me a chance to say goodbye, and I wouldn't have had that chance had they not been generous with their donation. I also had a friend who was suffering through cancer, and every time they would get a little faint, or they would get a little gray, or, you know, every couple of weeks they were requiring a blood transfusion. And, you know, the gift that was for the family to be able to say goodbye to their dad and to have that special time with them, you know, that's so valuable. And, you know, even people that have experienced industrial accidents, you know, I met a gentleman once who worked on the railroad, and he got hit, and he needed 52 pints of blood to save his life, and he's now a blood donor, you know. So being able to meet these incredible individuals who have not only lived through but survived, who are now becoming donors themselves, these are our friends, these are our neighbors, these are people we meet at school, at church, at work, and some people, you know, they don't want to share about the worst day of their life. They don't want to share about staying in the hospital for months and months and months. You know, they are working to work past that to get healthy again so that they can get back out and get back to their lives. But I'm here to tell you that they're thankful and they're grateful. And if it's not for folks, you know, just taking an hour out of their day, maybe an hour and a half to come in to do the rapid pass, make their appointment, and just roll up their sleeves and donate blood. If it wasn't for the generosity of our amazing donors, they wouldn't be here with us now. So if you have the opportunity, if you feel so compelled, if you want to find out what's in your blood, come and join us. RedCrossBlood.org, make your appointment, find out if you're eligible, download the app, and come on and give this September. Make it a part of your giving.
Alexis Innes with American Red Cross Blood Services. Alexis, always great to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ted. Have a great one.
RedCrossBlood.org. Please, please give. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.